Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. The question from yesterday's juz, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a famous hadith, Shayyabatni Hud wa akhawatuha, that Hud and its sisters gave me gray hair. Which surahs are considered the sisters of Surah Hud? So go ahead and answer below, inshallah ta'ala. We remind you, of course, to donate to Yaqeen Institute and to the many noble causes that are out there to keep us in your du'as. And of course, to download the book, inshallah, and follow along. We're joined, of course, as always, by our Sheikh Abdullah Aduro. And for the very first time, mashallah, Sheikh Ahmed Bildu. How's it going, Sheikh Ahmed?
Alhamdulillah.
So everyone else from IOK, Institute of Knowledge, you're here at IOK. Everybody else turned us down, man. Why does IOK hate Yaqeen?
So, IOK loves Yaqeen.
Mufti Farhan said no. Sheikh Norman Beg said no. What's going on, man?
I came off the bench.
You came off?
I came off the bench. Came through.
Nah, man.
Took up for the team.
So, Sheikh Ahmed, it's lovely to have you. We've done Hajj together multiple times, alhamdulillah. Umrah, spent a lot of time together. You're a 49ers fan. We're just talking about this. You know, two Muslim brothers on the Niners lost. Sheikh Abdullah dressed in 49ers burgundy to make you feel better, to console you, you know, to let you know it's all good, you know. But, you know, how are you feeling, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah. Allah blessed and honored to be with you guys today.
What's coming up at IOK, inshallah?
Wallahi, we are, you know, the seminary is growing. I'm teaching in the seminary with my colleague, Sheikh Farhan. So the seminary is growing and we're working on a few different projects, inshallah. We just need your dua.
No pressure, man. You got to come strong for IOK. We had a lot of people for Qalam, Al Maghrib, Miftah. You got to show up for IOK today, inshallah. Allah barakik, Sheikh. It's a pleasure to have you. طيب إن شاء الله تعالى with that we'll go ahead and get started. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So in the previous juz, we go through the story of Yusuf عليه السلام, and obviously this grand finale with Yusuf عليه السلام not just being saved, but experiencing the victory of this life and the next, the throne of this life before the throne of the next. But Surah Yusuf, of course, extends through these ajza. The very first verse of Juz 13, I find it very interesting, is actually verse 53. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And I do not seek to free myself from blame, for indeed the soul is ever inclined to evil, except for the one who is shown mercy by my Lord. Indeed, my Lord is all forgiving, most merciful. So there's a behavior here. This is the wife of Al-Aziz, obviously, who feels the guilt after what she has done with Yusuf alayhi salam, and being a reason for which he goes through so much of what he goes through. Of course, Allah has a plan for Yusuf alayhi salam, and Allah also has a plan for this woman. This woman expresses her tawbah. She expresses her repentance as well. But if you notice here, I own up to what I did, and the self indeed inclines towards evil, except for those who are shown mercy by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and indeed, there's an expression of who Allah is. Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. So there's a pathway back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the wife of Al-Aziz. And Yusuf did not go to prison for nothing. So everyone will take their grand turn in the story of Al-Qadr. Everyone has a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Yusuf alayhi salam will go from prison to a throne. The wife of Al-Aziz will go from a sin to repentance. And so there's success in both of these stories in this regard. However, when you go forward to Surah Ibrahim, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى, verse 6, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ أَنْجَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ وَيُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. Consider when Musa عليه السلام said to his people, remember Allah's blessing upon you when he rescued you from the people of Fir'aun, who afflicted you with all sorts of torment. They used to slaughter your sons and they used to keep your women. That was a severe test from your Lord. SubhanAllah. وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. That was a test that came from your Lord as well. I want you to think about the difference between Musa alayhi salam's people and what he's saying to them, and Yusuf alayhi salam and how they look back at their past. Yusuf alayhi salam is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that happened to him, and looks back at every single trial that he's been through, every single test, as a means of deliverance. And he expresses gratitude for slavery, gratitude for being in prison, gratitude for every single moment. And he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the greatest reward, the greatest pleasure, which is the pleasure of entering into the abode of gratitude, the abode of Allah's pleasure, al-Firdaws al-A'la, that place of paradise. The people of Musa alayhi salam, Allah Azza wa Jal has saved them from a Fir'aun and bestowed upon them gift after gift after gift, yet still they turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they only increase in ingratitude, right? And so you can imagine the state of their heart and you can imagine what comes to them as a result of all of that. Now here, the next verse, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. And remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will certainly increase you. But if you are ungrateful, then know that my punishment is severe. Look at the way that the people of Musa behaved when delivered versus the way that Yusuf alayhi salam behaved when delivered to safety. There is an entirely different attitude here. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Yusuf alayhi salam as a result of his gratitude? If you would have shown Yusuf alayhi salam before all of his ordeals, the end of his story, surely he would have been grateful, right? If you would have just shown him the end of his story. And guess what? There was a dream, wasn't there? The dream was shown to him before all of the ordeals took place. And Yusuf always responded with gratitude. And so every trial increased Yusuf in gratitude. Whereas with the people of Musa alayhi salam, every blessing somehow only increased them in ingratitude. And so the end of one group of people is the opposite of the end of this Prophet of Allah, this Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. And in that is a sign, subhanAllah, gratitude only brings you good, and it's not blessings that need to come to you in order for you to experience gratitude. It's a change of heart, it's a perspective that you're supposed to have that is driven by faith, and Allah promises you that only good will come as a result of it. And so Yusuf alayhi salam ends with more increase, and the greatest increase of all, the wife of Al-Aziz. Look what she lost as a result of what she did, by the way, right? She lost her position, she lost her haybah, she lost the status that she had in society. She had everything. She could have thrown herself at any man, right? But she chose to compel Yusuf alayhi salam. She could have repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sooner, but she chose to delay it. And so she lost in this dunya, but Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٍ. It's not guaranteed punishment in the hereafter for the one who repents. Allah Azza wa Jal forgives them. And the people of Musa alayhi salam, some of them indeed repented, and some of them remained stubborn. Destruction came to them. But those that turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala received his forgiveness. Gratitude only brings good. How do you respond when Allah azza wa jalla delivers you? May Allah azza wa jalla make us people of gratitude. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to enter into the abode of gratitude and his pleasure. Allahumma ameen. With that, Shaykh Abdullah, tafadhal.
Jazakumullah khairan. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'd. When speaking about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, I want to kind of continue on to that and really touch on the aspect of forgiveness. And when we look at forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is something that is important, but that doesn't negate the fact that we as human beings should forgive each other, and that will make you more lofty of an individual in front of the people, but most importantly, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate one, that the reckoner, the one that's going to judge people ultimately, because we all believe that there will be a day that we will stand in front of him and be accountable for every single thing that we've done. I want to start roughly from when Yusuf alayhi salam was a prime minister and he was in control of the agriculture and distribution of the goods for the people. This is in the middle of the story, or say near the end, where Yusuf alayhi salam, through the trials that he faced with the wife of Al-Aziz, and then how he was, mashallah, acquitted, and he was, subhanAllah, came to a position of being a prime minister, and how, subhanAllah, when his brothers, the ones that tried to kill him earlier in the story, he planned to be with his youngest brother, the youngest brother, Benjamin, and placed his cup inside of Benjamin's bag, and it was a plan to have Benjamin with him. The older brothers go back to their father. The father said no. He was crying out of sadness. And he told them to go to Hassasu, to go and look for Yusuf and his brother. They entered upon Yusuf, and this is where we will start the story, in the verse number 88, chapter of Yusuf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he says, so when they entered upon Joseph, they said, O Aziz, adversity has touched us and our family, and we have come with goods poor in quality. But give us full measure and be charitable to us. Indeed, Allah rewards the charitable. At this point, Yusuf alayhi salam, some scholars say he couldn't hold it in. He's looking at his brothers. The ones that oppressed him tried to kill him, okay? And they even, indirectly, they even spoke badly about Benjamin, Binyamin, because they said, oh, the one that stole your cup, O king, mind you, they still don't know that it's Yusuf alayhi salam. He doesn't look like him. They haven't distinguished it yet. Oh, they said it's just like his older brother that stole from before, right? So at this time, Yusuf alayhi salam, some scholars say he couldn't hold it in. Verse number 89, he said, as Allah says, he said, do you know what you did with Yusuf and his brother when you were ignorant? At this point, some scholars mentioned that the brothers, when he said that, that is when they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ? Are you Yusuf? قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي. I am Yusuf and this is my brother. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِهِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. They said, are you indeed Yusuf? He said, I am Joseph. This indeed is my brother. Allah has certainly favored us. Indeed, he who fears Allah and is patient, then indeed Allah does not allow to be lost the reward of those who do good. Notice when he made it clear, I am the one that you all tried to kill. He gives them a maw'idah. He gives them a reminder. He doesn't immediately get revenge on them. He doesn't speak badly to them. He said, yes, I am Yusuf. Remember me? This is my brother. Interesting, I said, hadha akhi. And then he immediately talks about the greatness and virtues of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala manallahu alayna. He mentions the greatness of Allah's power and capability throughout everything that has happened. And then he mentions the responsibility of us as human beings after knowing the virtue of Allah's bounty. Innahu man yattaqih wa yasbir. Those that are mindful of Allah and they're patient. So it is as though patience is an aspect of being mindful of Allah. When you're mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's predestination, you're patient with doing actions of good, you're patient with staying away from actions of disobedience, and you're patient with what Allah has predestined in general. So he says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. For really those that are mindful of him and are patient, Allah does not allow to be lost the reward of the good doers, the muhsinin. And in this case, Yusuf alayhi salam, without a doubt, is of the muhsinin. So he's showing his brothers, look, this is an indirect message for you all. What was the response of the brothers? They said, by Allah, certainly Allah has preferred you over us, and indeed we have been sinners. At this point, as some would say, kill them with kindness. When someone may have done something bad to you and you respond with a smile, which is a sunnah, you respond by billati hiya ahsan, with that which is better. It has an indirect message to that person. Those family members that you're good, especially in this month of Ramadan, take it upon yourself to be the person that responds with that which is better. And that's exactly what Yusuf did. And this was their response, that they said, you are better than us and we have been of the sinners. Then Yusuf alayhi salam, subhanAllah, قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْيَوْمِ. There is no blame will there be upon you today. This is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Thumamah ibn Uthal, one that killed some of the companions in looking for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wanting to kill him, and he was captured and placed in the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the proposition. He saw the companions, how they treated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet let him go. When he reached the outskirts, he turned around. Some say he washed up, he turned around, came back to the masjid and embraced Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said the same thing to him. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no fault. Can you imagine? His own brothers tried to kill him. And then Yusuf, after all of this, what took place, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. And then he says, Allah will forgive you. And he is most merciful of the merciful. Arhamar rahimin. Allah will forgive you. The reminder that Allah is in ultimate control. I could have taken it into my own hands. But La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. That takes iman, wallahi. That takes iman. Times we have seen people in, mashallah, the courthouse where their children were killed and they're looking at the killer and they go and they hug the killer. That takes a level of iman. It takes a level of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is exactly what Allah is teaching us via Yusuf, to be people that are forgiving while maintaining your integrity. So let this month of Ramadan be a catalyst to forgive that one person that may have wronged you. You make dua for them, you forgive them, and you're a person of kindness, but maintaining the integrity of who you are and your belief with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those. Ameen. Barakallahu feekum. Shaykh.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahabihi, wa man istanna bi sunnati ila yawmiddin. One of the verses that Sheikh Abdullah touched upon was verse number 90 from Surah Yusuf, where the brothers of Yusuf, they realize that they are now speaking to their brother, the one that they attempted to kill, the one that they just abandoned. And just rewind for a second, I want to take you back to a previous moment in Yusuf alayhi salam's life, in Juz 12, when he's in the prison and two men enter the prison, and they both come to Yusuf alayhi salam, and they want Yusuf alayhi salam to interpret their dream. And after each one of them tells their dream to Yusuf alayhi salam, they then tell Yusuf, نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِ, inform us of its interpretation. And then they say, إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that indeed we consider you to be amongst those that act with excellence. A very brief encounter with Yusuf alayhi salam, but immediately they are able to tell about Yusuf that he is from amongst the Muhsinin. And then you fast forward, when the vessel or the cup of the king is found in the belongings of Benjamin, and Benjamin now has to stay back. And the brothers had made an oath with their father that they would bring back Benjamin. So they tell Yusuf alayhi salam, not knowing that this is Yusuf that they're dealing with, خُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانَهُ, take one of us in his place, إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This phrase is repeated again by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, we see you from amongst those that have ihsan. Yusuf alayhi salam, as some scholars they mention, in his lowest moment, lowest from a worldly perspective, when he's in prison, he's described as having ihsan, as having excellence. And when he's in his highest moment, his pinnacle, when he has position and authority, he's also described as having ihsan. So when his brothers now realize that this is Yusuf in front of him, and they say, قَالُوا أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفْ, are you Yusuf? قَالَ أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي, he says, I am Yusuf and this is my brother. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا, that indeed Allah has bestowed his favor upon us. And then that part of the verse that Shaykh Abdullah touched upon, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Some of the scholars, they said that generally if you were speaking outside of the Qur'an, you would say, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَهُمْ, that indeed if you have taqwa and patience, then indeed Allah will not let their reward go to waste. But Yusuf alayhi salam says, أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, to indicate that taqwa and sabr are an integral part of having ihsan. There's a beautiful statement that's attributed to Luqman alayhi salam, that once he told his son, Ya bunay, inna dunya bahrun amiqun, that in, oh my son, this world is like a vast and deep ocean. It's so easy to drown in it. And then he said very beautifully, faj'al safinataka fiha taqwallah, make the thing that keeps you afloat, make the thing that keeps you above the water, the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he adds to it, وَيَصْبِرْ, and be patient, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Pause for a second. Ask yourself, how many good deeds have you done in your life? How many good deeds has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us the tawfiq to do? So many good deeds that we're proud of. But as the days pass, as the months pass, as the years pass, we forget about some of the good that we've done. Yusuf alayhi salam, he reminds us, he reminds his brother, his brothers, that whatever good you've done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let it go to waste. You know, the believers, they will come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, and they will see good deeds that they don't recognize simply because they don't remember them anymore. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not let any of that reward go to waste. And then that idea of ihsan, this entire verse is a summary of the entire struggle and story of Yusuf alayhi salam. That in every moment, in every situation, he had taqwa. In every circumstance, in every condition, he was patient. Even in the situation where he was going to get out of the prison, he still told the messenger that, go tell the king to research my case, to inspect my case, because he was having ihsan with his integrity, with his character. He did not want people to question who he was. He wanted to be exonerated when he came out of the prison. And one of the mufassirin, he says something so beautiful, that this was a moment that Yusuf alayhi salam could have blamed his brothers, could have criticized his brothers, could have just went in on his brothers. But he changed it and he used it as a moment to teach his brothers. And that moment was so powerful and so impactful upon his brothers that immediately they say in the next verse, we were amongst those that sinned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes Yusuf alayhi salam as muhsinin. And if we can fast forward really quickly to Surah Ibrahim, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. A verse that we've heard so many times, that if you were try to enumerate the blessings of Allah, you would be unable to. I just want to quickly focus on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes that verse. He says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. That indeed man, generally in his nature, he's unjust and he's ungrateful. That's how man deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the same verse. وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. If you try to count the blessings of Allah, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ you would be unable to. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. So in one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us how man deals with Allah. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with man. That although man is unjust and ungrateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to be forgiving and merciful. And that's the point that Yusuf alayhi salam was trying to make to his brothers. You guys messed up, but still, you have the ability to be from amongst the muhsineen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst the muhsineen.
What a heart for him to still want his brothers to go to Jannah. Like, who would want their brothers to go to Jannah after they did that to him? You threw me into the earth, into a well, tried to kill me, caused me to go into slavery and imprisonment. Not only do I forgive you, I hope you're forgiven so you can go to Jannah. What a heart, subhanAllah. And I think that's the thing, like, the state of the heart of these people. What's the state of the heart of the Prophet ﷺ? I talked about this prior to Ramadan when we talk about the Prophet ﷺ entering into Fatah Mecca. It was in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. What was the heart of the Prophet ﷺ like? And it's always beautiful, alayhi salatu wasalam, but like just to forgive and to let people go like that. And he still has hope in their Islam. Like, he's so happy when Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl is coming to him, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, here is Ikrimah, he's coming to you as a muhajir, as a migrant, and as a Muslim. Don't hurt his feelings with his father. Don't talk about his father in front of him. He's so happy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, marhaban, welcome. Like, not only do I forgive you, I hope Allah forgives you. And I hope you get to Jannah. And I think, subhanAllah, it's the same thing, right? Gratitude opens the pathways of the heart in a way that nothing else can.
Yep.
And one of the best things you can be grateful for is Allah's forgiveness. I'm grateful that Allah forgave me or forgives me even when I mess up so badly. And that gratitude increases my capacity to forgive other people when they mess up so badly. Because I know Allah Azza wa Jalla forgives me. So gratitude increases. And that's why the ulama say, وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're grateful, I'll increase you. Allah doesn't say what He increases you in. I'll just increase you.
Yeah.
And the ulama said, because it means an increase in faith, an increase in perspective, an increase in the same ni'mah you're thanking Allah for, and then an increase in every single thing that you possess that is worldly, and that is what you seek in the hereafter. Allah will just increase you. And Allah increases your capacity to forgive as well through that gratitude. SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. One thing that I always talk about, I've been wanting to talk about this more in my masjid, is I think it's important to talk more about sibling relationships. Because the worst enemy will be your brother or your sister, whoever, right? So then at that point, you could easily have, like you said, one up on him. Yusuf could have easily, and some of you say justified, like you could have easily just put them in a really bad situation. So when we look at that, you know, every single one of us that has our brother, our sisters, I mean, families are separated. How many people have not seen their cousins because their fathers have a problem with one another? Families, you know, separation of tribes because brothers or sisters had enmity or jealousy towards one another. One is jealous and the other one knows that person is jealous, and I'm not going to waste my time with my sister. There was one time a family member passed away, and then you saw the brother said, I really don't feel anything. Whether they're here or not, it really doesn't matter. You know, this is a message for the parents that to be very cognizant of the relationship with your children, the brothers and sisters, and for the ones that have the brothers or sisters, the older brothers, it's important to have that leadership role and to have mercy on your younger brother or sister, and recognize that they're young and they're looking at you, especially when they're younger, they're looking at you and looking up to you even over their father sometimes. And also for the younger brothers and sisters, when you look up at your older brother and sister, if they're acting like someone that wants to take care of you and wants to protect you, show them that level of respect. And I think this needs to be talked about more, because SubhanAllah, you see this with Yusuf. And Allah, with His qadr, gives you these demographics, like brothers that try to kill a brother. When you think about it, if there's a level of jealousy, it is definitely between siblings. Definitely. And parents sometimes will show more love towards another and don't realize that that resentment of the older brother that is the oldest or oldest sister that was there when y'all were younger and you were going through trial and error with the oldest one, the youngest one is getting more of a treatment that the oldest one didn't get.
Yeah.
And it's very important for parents to be cognizant of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly and indirectly shows us that through the story of Yusuf, the story of Qabil and Habil. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us attentive of that, particularly. Ameen.
Just building upon what you said, like that idea of sibling rivalry.
Yeah.
Right? It's so unhealthy. In reality, siblings are supposed to help one another, acknowledging that all of us have our strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
If I have a specific strength and my sibling has a weakness, I'm supposed to, you know, assist them using my strengths, make them stronger in, you know, whatever they're weak in. And if they have a strength and I have a particular weakness, they're supposed to help me in that, right? And that's the idea, that you all together lift one another up. Mm-hmm. But when sibling rivalry creeps in, you're always trying to step on the other person. You're always trying to show your parents or society or people at large or your friends that I'm better than my sibling.
Right.
When in reality, you're supposed to kind of want to protect the honor and the reputation of your sibling. And you want other people not just to view you in a good light, but you want them to view your sibling, your brother, your sister, or all of your brothers, sisters in a good light. Right.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you're constantly helping one another.
The first murder in history is a brother murdering his brother. And in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, you have siblings that are trying to murder their brother. And subhanAllah, it's interesting because like the emphasis in Islam on silatul rahim, on establishing the ties of kinship and making sure that you treat your family the best. And indeed, how can you be a good brother to your brother Muslim or sister to your sister Muslim if you can't be a good brother to your sibling, sister to your sibling? And you know what I'm thinking about, subhanAllah, as I'm just thinking about the times that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a time where shukr to parents, which should be the most obvious form of shukr, is gone. If that gratitude's gone, how are you going to be grateful to your siblings? And so, yeah, we live in a time where people cut their parents off. Of course, they cut their siblings off as well. And I think that's just a sign, like, you know, another deeper meaning of the ties of kinship being suspended from the throne of the Most Merciful. And that if we want to be connected to the Most Merciful, then we need to be connected as well to our ties of kinship.
SubhanAllah. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us as brothers in faith, inshallah ta'ala, brothers and sisters in faith. It was a pleasure to have you.
JazakAllah.
Tell the brothers at IOK that we love them, man. Tell them, tell Mufti Farhan. And actually, to be fair, Mufti Farhan sent me a message from Umrah too, apologizing. Yeah. I thought that was really nice of him to send a message from Umrah too. But we appreciate the work that all of the institutions are doing in the community. Alhamdulillah. IOK is a gem out here in California.
Alhamdulillah.
Bless everyone at Institute of Knowledge and especially Sheikh Ahmed. Inshallah, we'll see you all tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.